Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody. What's up, Nadia?
Not much, Lon. Last week's episode was such a snoozer. Yeah. Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah. It just keeps getting pretty monotonous at this point.
This was like the filler episode where they just keep extending. I felt like there was nothing really new. There were some new things, but they were very small things. And the rest, it was continuing plot lines that they've started almost 3 or 4 episodes ago. And it's just kind of getting tired.
Yeah. I mean, case in point, Bilal and... And Shahida's still on that whole
We're still talking situation. About this.
We're still talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They keep harping on it. But what
we
do you think?
We can skip over them. There's really nothing new to say. We know she wants to protect herself. We know that this is the prenup. She's talked about trying to build the yoga studio. But I think with this episode, it was like, well, if you're going to build that with my help, right, then it becomes his as well, like his asset too, or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, she wants protection from that. So they just need to both lawyer up and drop something that's like mutually beneficial instead of trying to force the prenup on all of us at this point. Like, come on.
I was going to ask you what you thought about what Bilal said, right? Like where he explained that he will be helping her build that yoga business. However, that's also his business. So he should get a piece of the revenue or profit or whatever. So in that case, do you think he has a claim to it?
I mean, I do. And again, I don't know how all this works and on the religious side of things, but he's just so, so business.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's just too much. And I think she also tried to flip it on him. Like if things were reversed, I'm not as deep as Bilal is into money like that. But if I were going to help somebody, that's what it is. It's help. Mm. And if I were to help you grow that business and then your business profited, like I helped you with that, I don't want to entitle myself to that. If you want to break me off 25% or whatever, that's cool. But like, I wanted to help you out of the kindness of my heart, not because I wanted money from it. If things ever went wrong with our relationship, I'm just like, really? Are you really going to harp on that? I don't know. And it just gave me more reason not to like the guy. Well, that's now that becomes mine too. Okay, like I get it because you're helping with her and you've helped fund it. I get that, but you're helping her, right? You're her husband or you're going to be her husband, right? Can you just write it off as a gift? Do you take half of gifts that you give? Do you know, like,
yeah,
the way I see it, right? If it's help and you're just helping her, help her out of the kindness of your heart. Let her have this because everything else in the prenup is you.
Yep, yep. And I thought it also, it's only right that he helped her because she did give up.
She gave up everything already. Yeah.
Yeah. Her career, her businesses in Trinidad. And as her husband, Bilal should help her and not really expect anything back.
Right.
That said, it made sense to me that he feels entitled because he is such a vile human being and I'm not a fan of him. But I also think that what they need or what Shahida needs is a postnup. So a postnup would protect what they each make after their marriage. Whereas the prenup protects what Bilal has prior to coming into the marriage. So I get the prenup, but I think they need a postnup.
Do either of them know what that is? Does TLC know what it is? Let's get to the post note, y'all.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
TLC, are you hearing this?
Switch it up a little bit.
Starting this
into the episode, the post.
Yeah, the post note, right? Yeah. And then they'll shove it to our face for like right. Another 5 episodes. Man. until our noses bleed. Also, kind of monotonous, or rather nothing happening between Kara and Guillermo from her spilling champagne on her friend. But what did the producers do wrong here? Because I feel like Kara is such an interesting character, but together as a couple, I'm not enticed, Lon. I'm not really intrigued by their story.
Yeah, there isn't really an angle. I think they really want to make her out to be a controlling, like, older person, and he's just the young guy fighting, like, for control of the relationship. I think with this episode, there was one thing that was kind of the saving grace, and that was a short phone call with his mom. Mm. And she kind of was like, you know what? Kara's a good woman. She's an adult. You need to let her be who she is.
Yep.
You know, and she wrapped it up in a nice little bow, which I made a note of and I actually liked when she said, marriage is not a prison, son. That was like, ah, yes, there you go. And, you know, it, I think they closed that scene off with Guillermo just really thinking like, wow, okay, okay, yeah. And that's just really what it is. I understand that there's a power struggle here and Guillermo was constantly like, I wouldn't say berated. Berated is a strong word. But when we say, you know, somewhat infantilized and, you know, is left out of certain decisions and things, part of it, I think, is because there's an expectation on his end that he needs to have a say in everything she does. And she doesn't feel that way. Like, if she wants to hang out with her friends and you don't, that's cool. You don't. But don't stop me from doing that. Those are my friends. And this is my life, right? Things like that. So the mom, you know, obviously, I don't think she sided with Kara, but I think she was like, look, Kara's an adult. Are you really going to give her these rules? Like, you need to stay home or you need to do X, Y, Z. And she just said, marriage isn't a prison. And it shouldn't be for either of them.
Yeah.
Right. On the same end, you're not being locked down and you can also be an adult and have your own things too. So, you know, that was what I got out of their parts of this episode.
Yeah. My other key takeaway from their scene is one of her, I guess, bridal party or bridesmaid, Jasmine, said that Guillermo does need to put his foot down.
Yes.
Because I think her friends recognize how controlling and what her personality is like. And I mean, even though they're her friends, I think they're also sympathetic towards Guillermo because, look, even Kara said that she's a lot. If she had to marry herself, she would be like, okay, I'm a lot. She said that. So she's self-aware. And I think that's pretty much it. I feel like their story is not as compelling as, say, the next couple that we're about to talk about, which is Jibri and Miona.
Jibri! Okay, so on Twitter, everyone's, I think, in consensus that Jibri does need to grow up. And I think this episode showed how much he really does need to grow up. Mm. And his parents are really putting their foot down. There goes that phrase, right?
Yeah.
And really insisting that he needs to move out. And he keeps asking for more help. And I think too, what we're getting is that this isn't a surprise. And that this time frame, this window has always been this way. And it makes me think Jibri is just afraid. He's afraid to pull the trigger on certain things. He's maybe insecure about a lot of things pertaining to finances, his future. And, you know, like, living off of his parents is kind of the safe. Well, I don't always take the safe path or whatever. When his friend was telling him not to let go of the truck or whatever, he's like, well, this is it. This is your way of getting out of that safety net then, is to take this gamble and not live off of your parents. And like, Miona is all for it.
Right? Yeah, totally. Like, Miona is quietly agreeable.
Let's go.
Yeah.
If he wants to do big boy things, this is one of those things. And like, I understand that he's under a lot of pressure, but I think this is ultimately going to be the best move for the both of them.
Mm. I was actually going to ask you, I was going to lead this discussion with asking you whether you think that they overstayed or have they been wrongfully kicked out, because I can see that it's both ways. Because and you've already explained that your stance on this is you think that Jibri has overstayed. I thought that because he's not stable, according to him, right? Because we don't know, he's probably receiving a lot of money from TLC, but he's not stable enough financially, that he wants more time to be under his parents' roof, which I thought is okay. But I guess that leads me to my other question, Lon. Why is the US, or the, you know, in this case, well, maybe it's the US or maybe it's the Western culture in general, why is the US adamant about their kids not living with their parents?
Yeah. So I don't know, because my parents, they wanted us. My parents, if anything, wanted us to stay home. And yeah, you know,
my parents
it was, if anything, they're afraid that you won't make it and stay here and blah, blah, blah. So like, I don't understand that whole mentality. Maybe it comes from previous generation. So kind of circling back, and it somewhat relates to this, I think, and I wrote a question, I wrote it in, as a question in my notes. Are they doing this because this is the deal that was agreed upon? Or is there a little bit of passive aggressiveness because they're salty?
Salt Island right there.
If the wedding was closer or whatever, or they wasn't in LA, or maybe they were able to have their way on a couple of things, would they be more agreeable? Mm. Would they be like, yeah, you can have more time, of course. Yeah. But because things are like, okay, if this is how Jibri and Miona want to play it, they don't want to have the wedding here. You know, they don't want to do this. Well, okay, guys, well, you know, because you're making up your minds on certain things, you can't stay here and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I did like get that vibe too, that the parents were very salty about the fact that they're not getting married close by, like not in South Dakota. They kept saying like, well, we need to make plans. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's just a weak excuse. Like, as parents, whatever it is, I think it's only right to drop everything that you do to make it to your kid's wedding. I don't know why they keep going back to like, we didn't have a chance to make plans or whatever. But I do get that the parents are probably annoyed that they are planless too, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't know when they're going to get married. They don't know exactly where, but they know it's not South Dakota.
Right.
Yeah, I just felt like that little retaliation from the parents. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, you want to play this game. Okay, well, let's
because a few episodes ago, right, weren't they all up about Jibri staying, right?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden the tune changed. Like,
yeah, it's such a 180. I don't understand what happened there. Anyway, how cool is it that you have a friend called Temperature?
How did he get that nickname?
TLC needs to explore that, man. I was really interested to know the backstory. I'm just like Emily's dad too. I'm like, how do you get the name Temperature? Or I think, was it the mom or dad who asked like, why is he called Temperature? And Kobe was like, well, when I first came here, that's what they call him, Temperature. Unfortunately, Temperature brought his patriarchal vibes with him to the dinner table. And you can tell that everyone got really upset.
The temperature was definitely rising in that room.
He raised the temperature.
He raised the temperature a little bit in there.
He even spilled the beans about Kobe's origin.
What the heck?
From royalty.
Kobe is basically Eddie Murphy from like Coming to America.
Oh, damn. Prince Hakim?
Yes. He's Prince Hakim. What the heck is that about?
From Zamunda?
Yeah. And he explained it as such, right? Yeah. Well, you know, we have chiefdoms and there are rulers and stuff to it. And I was like, yeah, dude. This is Coming to America, man. What the hell? Dude?
He came to America.
You know, he's from royalty. I'm already saying it. That's my WTF moment. Like, I was like, wait, what? Huh? What's going on here? What the hell?
Yeah.
And I think everybody at the table was kind of like, what? And especially Emily. Emily's like, what?
Yeah, I know. But notice that the first thing she said was, so I'm going to be a princess? Or something like that. And then when he explained it, she was like, oh, yeah, but he has no money, no nothing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And I was like, the tune changed so quickly. I mean, that was a really pleasant surprise to know about his background, right? So he's not just any other dude from Africa. Like, he has some sort of stature about him, I guess. But what do you think about Temperature and his messaging?
I think maybe, and I don't even know if this would have been a good conversation to have with Emily, but at the dinner table with the family and expressing themselves. I hope this was one of those fabricated scenes, because if this was a real scene and you're just going up into a family dinner and being this way as a guest at the table,
that's you would not be invited again.
That's just weird. Yeah, that's just so weird to be that way and to talk like that. And to say, hey, you know what? This is how it is. And as an African man, this is how it goes. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And her dad was like, well, like, now I know why you're not married. Yeah. Try to make light of the situation.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and you know, I don't know. I don't know when the right time would have been to have a conversation like this. I think what he was really trying to say to Emily, you can't treat him this way. It's a certain way where we're from. And it's pretty much how every season goes, right? When we get patriarchy involved is like, well, where I'm from, this isn't how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Men are the top, right?
Women in the house, yeah. Well,
you're marrying an American woman. And this, it's that whole conflict between like foreign man, American woman.
American women, yeah.
Yeah, so I really don't know when the right time would have been, but I think if I were in his position, like I could have that conversation, still be kind of open-minded, but at least not come off as aggressive isn't the right word. I can't English tonight. You know what I mean? I would be maybe a little bit subtle about it. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that forthcoming. It's not a dinner conversation with a lot of people like that. Like, I would take her to the side and say, hey, look, man, you know.
Glass of wine, you know. Yeah. And be like, hey, Emily, come here really quick. Let me talk to you.
Yeah, let me talk to you.
So, you know, it's kind of like this. But I get it, you know. You're an American. And, yeah. But it's kind of like this where, you know,
the way he come off to, it's like he's schooling them. And Emily's sister felt attacked too, because when she started jumping in to defend her sister or defend the whole situation, and then the parents also had a say, like, you know, her mom was saying like, he may be an African man, but she's an American woman, so they have to compromise. That's when you know that everyone felt triggered by it, mm-hmm. or everyone was triggered by it. And that's not the kind of conversation,
right?
Like dinner table conversation that you need to have, especially when you first meet people.
Like, but, bro, read the room.
Yeah.
No, read the room. There wasn't the camera person. Excuse me. I don't know if it was a cameraman, cameraman, whatever. You could tell when they're panning, everyone's faces was just like,
yeah,
their reactions are just like, what?
They had that. Are you serious right now, bro?
Yeah. You'd read the room, man. You temperature, right?
Yeah, definitely. Also, talking about temperature rising, let's talk about Muhammad attending that fire ceremony.
So let me start here. Maybe I forgot. I might have. And in fact, I think I did, because I'm asking the question. So is she Native American? Is she Wiccan? Okay.
She's Native American. She's from the Apache tribe. Got it.
That makes a lot more sense. I was like, okay.
Yeah, so they have their own ritual. You know, I know we're supposed to not kind of like go off track here, but I'm currently watching Outlander. It's a period show, mostly about Scottish Highlander, but now they're in America in the 1700s and they're living side by side with Native American. So I feel like, yeah, the whole fire thing, it's definitely on brand with Native American. I just wish that Muhammad is a little bit more respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And I get why Eve is very disappointed too by him, because like she's been supportive of his beliefs and tradition. And she just wants the same, right? She just wants him to reciprocate. I think in a way he is, but also at the same time, he's being grumpy because he's not liking the company around him too, because they had offended him previously. So I get that he was feeling uncomfortable because of the fact that he's witnessing something that is out of his own belief system. And he's surrounded by people that had insulted him previously. So I get his predicament. It's definitely a tough spot to be. Give him some slack. He's doing enough to support her, you know? Because I think as someone of a different religious belief, I don't think he can bring himself to participate. So I don't expect him to participate. But the fact that he's present, I think that was good enough.
Right. So I like that he was present. But at the same time, you know, I get her frustration.
Mm.
She's not Muslim. Mm-hmm. But when she attended his rituals, she went all out. I wouldn't say, well, maybe not all out, but she wore the headscarf or whatever. Yeah. She did the prayers. You know, I don't know how strict a Muslim is, but like, for me, at least being raised Roman Catholic, I can go to different places and still maybe not practice their faith, but still kind of respect like the rituals they have. Oh, totally. Do I need to take off my shoes here?
Yeah.
Is this where I'm supposed to bow and stuff? I can still be that way. And I think because she did that for him, she was expecting a bit more from him. Yeah. And he was just, you know, what did you think? And God bless her friend, right? The friend that's constantly like, smiling. She's like, hey, what about you? She's just trying to make everything like, you know, not weird for everybody, you know, and she's constantly smiling. You know, what did you think? And he was just like, oh, you know, the fire, it keeps me warm, kind of like downplaying the spirituality of it. And mm-hmm. I get it, Muhammad, that's not your religion, but like, could you have just at least, you know what I mean? And it's tough because when you really are strict and practicing your faith and stuff, and oh, and this is bad, this is off limits. Yeah. I get it. Like, no, I can't do that. But she wasn't either. She's not Muslim either. And she did it. There again comes in that kind of imbalance where he's so like by the book and she's not Muslim, but yet she can come and try these things. And he's not as open to trying these things out. But you're right. You're right about the friends too. Like if he's already coming in there with the mindset that these people hate me, I don't like them.
Yeah.
Then, and forget about the ritual.
It becomes doubly uncomfortable for him. And I want to say, as someone who's born and raised a Muslim, like I have no qualms going to church or attending.
If you had been invited.
Yeah, invited, which I have. Nothing too religious, though. Like I've been invited to like a Christmas thing in church. And I've attended a friend's Christian rock concert in church. I've been to Vatican City. So I thought that was quite a milestone, too, for someone who's not Catholic to go to Vatican City. I mean, it is beautiful to learn. And I'm a history buff. So that's why I thought it was cool.
But there are other things to appreciate.
Yeah,
right,
totally.
Right.
Totally. I've been to temples and all that. So I feel like people who are very strict, I can totally get, because I know people who are like, I will never step into like another place of worship that's not mine. And it's like unfathomable. Sorry, I can English too, but they're just stuck in that belief system where like, okay, like you stay in your lane, I stay in my lane, and I cannot participate.
My God is going to strike me down.
I'll get struck by lightning
if I start praying to that fire, I'm dead tomorrow. Like,
yeah. Like it's blasphemous, you know? Yeah. So I get it why he's like that. And I think we have to respect people's comfort level too, right? Like if he's not comfortable taking part, he's not, you know, you can force it, I guess. Are we ready to talk about Beanie the seamstress, I guess.
That was like almost the highlight of their segment, right?
Totally. I mean, he's so talented.
He's a talented guy. It's just
one talented
starts
dude.
Off the scene with him sewing and stuff.
Yeah.
What was he? Was he making a jacket? What was he making?
He was making Avi a pair of pants.
A pair of pants. Oh, for the wedding.
Dude, pants are difficult.
Yeah. Like, this guy's a man of many talents.
Totally, dude. I guess he must have made his own clothes too. But yeah, I think that was my only highlight. And the fact that, you know, they went on and on about how she's not sure if she wants to get married. Before I close this out with them, newsflash, Eve and Muhammad are married. And they're still together. I just thought you should know.
We're gonna have to dig deeper into that one later.
Yeah, they're still married.
I have questions.
They're already
married. So many questions.
I know, right? So I guess the religious difference didn't really make
difference. Right.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead with Beanie and Ari.
Yeah, and this is ground we've already covered. Like Ari keeps saying, "Oh, I thought things would be different, and you know, we're even more distant now." And like, I always roll my eyes because I'm just like, "Well, the distance is because he's trying to set himself up and you up for a future. You want him to get a job and start working. He's trying to get that into place, right?"
Exactly.
So, you know, I get that he's not home and stuff like that. Eventually, think bigger picture here. You know, and she has the same complaints, but what would you rather do then? Like, have him stay at home and get that physical distance, but then not work towards getting actual employment or establishing himself. So you can live in that neighborhood that y'all drove through and that you showed him, you know what I mean? Or move to New York or wherever. Like, I think he's trying to be successful here in America. And I get that maybe she's lonely, but she could also support him through it and find ways to understand that there's a bigger picture here. There's a shared goal, and to see it as in they're working towards the same goal. Maybe they're not doing it like close as maybe she wants to do it, but the goal is still a shared goal that he's working towards.
Yeah. I'm just glad that Leandro cannot make it to the wedding. That's my biggest takeaway from their scene.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it looks like Thais cannot make it to her own wedding. I'm really shocked that we're seeing previews of her going back to Brazil. And the first thing I thought was, dude, that's resetting your 90-day fiance visa.
She leaves, that's it. You cannot come back. It has to be 90 days inside America.
Inside the US. Yeah. At least that's to my understanding of the process. So that's why I'm surprised that he's letting her leave, because that's money gone. Unless he knows a way of somehow not resetting the process. Maybe she filed some sort of extension. I don't really know, but I'm surprised that she's leaving. Okay. I think I know where she gets her wishy-washiness. I mean, her dad, hello. I feel like the dad, if he doesn't like Patrick, he should have said that and not lead Patrick on. Because Patrick had the impression that the dad likes him. Right? And from what I'm hearing, Patrick claims he bought the dad gifts, spent time with him. Look, man, if you don't like the guy, why are you leading him on? Why are you giving him false hope, you know, giving him false impression that you're cool with him and, you know, you can potentially one day marry his daughter when you don't even trust him. You don't trust Americans in general. Then like now you're, I don't know what's the term, but you're accepting his gifts for the sake of, you know, for that benefit. You're getting the benefits. In reality, you don't approve of their relationship. So I can see why him being that way causes her to be that way as well.
Right. Because
she's like, I want to pursue this relationship, but I know my dad doesn't like him.
Almost
I'm
like
trying to circumvent it, you know?
Right. Like, it's almost like not saying something or not being forthcoming with a person, like as a character trait, right? I'm not going to tell my dad just the same way. Like he's not going to really tell you, but we're going to.
That's why I say they're being like wishy-washy.
So like, do you think then that the onus was on her? So I think maybe him saying, you know what? I really don't like this guy. He has a lot of influence. We'll start there. He has a lot of influence on her and she admits it. She said, you know, there's been rarely a time or when I've gone against my dad's wishes or that I've disagreed with my dad or whatever. So it makes me wonder then if there's maybe this unspoken, maybe not rule, but guideline that what I say goes. And maybe him saying, I don't like him was his way of saying, you need to break up with this guy, you know?
Yeah.
And he was thinking she would have iterated that to Patrick or that she would have just broke it off and that would be the end of it. But instead, she went against it and rather than confront him about it, she just wanted to dodge the issue completely. So not tell him about it and then not tell Patrick about it, because if Patrick found out, then Patrick would force her to confront the issue. And now Patrick is on the other side of the I told you so. This is exactly what she wanted to avoid, and be careful what you wish for. Like, and I think it was the right move as a guy. This traditional thing like crosses cultures, right? I think between men, it's just one of those things. You tell the father or you speak with the family, you get the blessing. Somebody, somebody from the family needs to be okay with you marrying their daughter. So I understand that. And I think it was the right move. It just, in this case, the repercussions were not favorable. And we're going to see how it all plays out. But looks like, like you said in the preview, looks like she's out of here.
Yeah. Yep. Now I'm curious to know what's going to happen to them.
Do you think it's because her dad is saying? She didn't quite say my dad wants me back.
Yeah, she said she misses her dad and she misses. I told you, man, they're both wishy-washy. I
miss it there. Yeah, like she said I miss my
They're
home.
Not being forthcoming. Like, just tell Patrick, like, if you respect him enough, you should just tell him the truth and say, look, my dad doesn't bless our marriage. What am I going to do? What do you think we should do? And maybe if Patrick respects boundaries but also loves her, I think he would go back to Brazil with her and convince the dad, like, hey, I'm for real. Like, I really want to marry your daughter. I love her. Let her live with me in the US and maybe compromise. Like, maybe she'll spend time with you in Brazil during the summer or something like that. Make some sort of arrangement to appease the dad.
It doesn't need to end here.
I just don't know what's going to happen. But if
on 90 Day Fiancé, the other way.
I see where you're going with this, Patrick and Thais. I see it now.
Yeah, but no, you're right, though. All jokes aside, you're right. If this is the play, then go there. If her thing was, okay, we got to prove to my dad that we're for real and that we love each other. She just went about it wrong. She just went about it like, if we get married without telling him, he'll know we're for real. No. If the play is let's convince the dad, then yeah, that's the way to do it. And then Patrick needs to get a ticket, meet the guy, shake his hand and say, I'm going to take care of her. And we love each other.
And also give him a ticket to attend their wedding. Mm-hmm. So he's motivated to see how real it is. Yeah. I just feel like it's being dramatic for the sake of being dramatic, you know, the whole flying back to Brazil. All right, Lan, that is our coverage of last week's episode of 90 Day Fiancé. What is your WTF moment? Oh, you already said it.
Yeah. He's Prince Hakim. Y'all, we got a legit prince on the show, man. And that's cool. And maybe, and obviously, it's not everything Hollywood says it is, but that's just really
that's
cool
more
to
believable.
Know.
Yeah.
That's just cool. Royalty is royalty, right?
Yeah.
And it comes, you know, it comes with this whole thing that we don't always see it. And it doesn't need to be like flashy thing, right? There's an episode, you know, you put me onto the show a while back. Was it The Queen? I forget. There's a scene. It's a British show. I think it's called The Crown.
The Crown.
Where he visits and it's an actual leader. It's an actual king in a tribe in Africa, if I remember correctly. And he's just kind of like mocking, you know, like her husband or whatever, boyfriend. I don't know who he is at the time. I forget. It was a long time ago. It was season one, y'all.
Well, Prince Philip?
And he's just being somewhat disrespectful. Treat him like royalty. He's treating you like royalty. But because it's not maybe to the European standard of lavishness and jewels and fancy cloths and
there's
stuff.
No, it's decorum.
Right. It's their representation of what royalty is in their culture. Right. And he wasn't like taking it seriously. He was kind of mocking the tribe and stuff. And similar in this sense, I didn't expect that. It wasn't just a prejudgment. It's just that it's cool. That's cool that whoa, we have a legit guy here that's like royalty in his country. And he didn't make a big deal out of it. He didn't even really tell people or even mention it to Emily to begin with. So my jaw was like almost dropped. I was like, wait, what? And I just thought it was a WTF in a good way. Like, wow, that's very surprising. TLC pulled out a hat trick there. Like that's really cool.
Yeah, totally. Good job, TLC. That's a gem right there. My WTF moment is temperature.
yeah what
bringing
the
temperature to he brought the heat. I just don't think that was the most comfortable dinner setting or the most comfortable dinner conversation to be had, but temperature came in guns blazing trying to school all these Americans about how a wife should be.
unsuccessfully.
I appreciate the fact that the folks in the room pushed back lightly, but I think they were very appalled by what he said. So yeah, temperature, got to give it to you, man. You you did your thing, but it wasn't really seen favorably. So.
Right. Something in that scene is probably how he got his nickname. I'm just having trouble putting it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure somewhere in there is how he got that name.
Yeah. I want to say, if I mean, I know we're a WTF podcast, but if there's a mic drop moment, I want to give it to Jubi's dad, because when Jubi said, like, I feel like I'm a 15-year-old, and his dad say, I feel like you're acting like one.
Yeah.
And I was like, boom. Like, dad, yeah, like, giving it to him. Shots fired right there. So yeah, that would be my mic drop moment. Lon, I guess our listeners would want to know, what have you been up to? What are you watching? What are you listening?
I don't know. I hate to bring this up, but I started binging the one that's on the next season on Netflix of what is it? The marriage one.
Married at First Sight. Yeah. Married at First Sight. Oh, damn.
Yeah,
you're into that.
I'm binging that one again. Yeah. So yeah. I saw that. I also watched this documentary on Hulu, Victoria's Secret.
Mm.
And it is about Victoria's Secret and Lex Wessner, but they tie it into
Jeffrey Epstein,
right? They try to focus it on the connection between Lex Wessner, Jeffrey Epstein, and how that ties into Victoria's Secret.
Mm.
And I think the insinuation with the young models, it's just not a good look, right?
Yeah. Like,
definitely an eyebrow raiser there. Mm-hmm. And there were some surprising information. I don't want to spoil it if anyone's going to watch it, but if any of that interests you, I highly recommend it.
Awesome. I am watching Only Murders in the Building still. I'm still going through season one.
That's on
and
my
I'm
list.
I bet that there's going to be a third season coming. I guess people must have liked the show. And also, I am back at Outlander, like I mentioned earlier in this podcast. I keep postponing it. Like, I watched the first episode of season four and I was like, I'm not interested. But then the more I watch it, the more I'm so fascinated with it. I think I briefly described it earlier. It's a romantic story that has a bit of a sci-fi time traveling element to it.
A touch of the supernatural, right? Yeah.
Previously, the backdrop was Europe, you know, mostly in the Scotland Highlands, in France, I think in one of the season. And it talks about the Culloden War, or the war at Culloden between the Highlanders and the Redcoats, the British Army at that time, His Majesty's Army. Now, the season four that I just finished watching is set in America during 1790-something, I think, or 1770-something, when the settlers first came to the U.S., specifically in the colonies. The two lovers, they're based in, I believe they're based in North Carolina.
Okay.
And
raise up, get your shirt off.
I should say that louder. North Carolina. But at that time, North Carolina was just simply all pasture and forest. And yeah, they're living side by side with Native Americans, and they explore how that's like. And the one thing that I just want to comment, because I don't want to spoil it, is that tax is such a big issue even back then. I think that's why the tea was spilled, right, in the Boston Harbor.
Was spilled, yeah, in the harbor. The Boston Harbor.
Yep.
So this is the latest season, season four.
No, the latest season is season six. So I'm actually catching
up.
There's
six seasons of Outlander already?
Yeah.
What?
It's based on a book. And the book is, I think she has a lot of book. And they're even trying to do a prequel to the book. So
I watched, I want to say, the first two seasons. I didn't think I was that far behind. It's one of those where I go, oh, I can catch up.
Yeah.
Six seasons?
Mm-hmm.
What the crap? Okay.
Yeah. No, wow. It gets better. It gets better because, like, think about it, right? Some of the key characters of this show came from the future, trying to live a life in, like, New World America. So think about, like, you know, they're trying to explain to people why they shouldn't take mercury because it's poison. They're trying to explain to people, like, hey, don't fight the
right
British now because there will be a war coming. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I remember that from the previous ones. And she was, because of that, you know, and this goes into witchcraft. And they were like, she's a witch. Yes. And she had to stand on trial, and there wasn't, without saying too much, y'all, you got to watch the show.
Yeah.
There was somebody who was also a time traveler that you didn't know. It's a crazy show. I love it.
Crazy show.
I just need to catch up. But
you know what? It's slow paced. But I think if you're someone who appreciates history and attention to detail, like, it's really mind blowing. And it covers a lot of stuff too. Like, even they even cover homosexuality, because during that time, people don't know how to process that. And of course, like, Claire, who's the main protagonist, you know, she is a nurse in during her present time, but she came back and now she has to call herself a healer because otherwise people think she's a witch. Right. And she's still trying to convince people that she's actually capable of surgery, but because she's a woman,
in
18th century America, like, no one trusts her. No, all the men are looking at her like, what? She's a woman. No, call the real physician.
Right.
And here she is trying to do surgery on a hernia and people don't believe her.
Right. I don't even think back then they were allowed to get higher education, right?
No. Not at all. Like, women are still, I mean, think about.
So for her to be performing surgery is like, the fuck is this?
Yeah. They don't trust her to do anything that obviously are predominantly done by men, you know. Right. Anyway, that's my spiel on Outlander.
I gotta get back on that.
I
didn't know I was that far behind.
Stick to it, man. It's slow, but stick to it. It just hooks you. Now I cannot stop watching it. Anyway, that is all. Lon, do you have any final words to say to our listeners?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. Share, subscribe. Like, follow,
share, like, follow the podcast.
Spread the word. And leave your ratings if you can. And until next time, be kind to one another and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.